So for today's message, I've got a very simple title today. I like short, simple titles. One. Now you might think, well, that's because it's the first Sunday, the first Lord's Day of the year, 2026. So happy New Year to you all. I hope you had a good holiday period. And so yeah, one. The figure one, the shortest title we can have, one. If you like a longer title, okay, one, the beautiful mosaic, diverse in design, one in Christ. I think I prefer one. One is easy to remember. If I ask you next week for the George or the title, one, okay? But really, okay, first of all, I'm going to do a side disclaimer that the views I share today are my own views. We're going to know the Bible, so the Bible speaks. Where the Bible speaks, there's no difference in views. The rest is kind of how I view things. I may say things slightly wrong, possibly. So again, think about my intent, what I'm trying to say. And I say this just because what we're going to touch upon today could be a slightly sensitive topic. And so again, just think about where we're trying to go with all this. And really the background to this, so I'm just going to go into a little bit of a background, and then we'll go into the Bible lesson proper, let the scriptures speak into this. But really it's about the fact that in Leicester, we are the most diverse city in the UK. A lot of people are aware, don't even know this, I talked to people several weeks ago, and said, I didn't know that. I mean, we know we're very multiracial. Lots of different groups of people live in the city, even by different areas. You go the Golden Mile, and you know that's where all the Indians are, all the curry houses. You could go to Highfields, there's lots of Muslims that they could go to various areas, but we are very multicultural. We are actually the most multicultural. So even Narborough Road, which is, go down here, turn left, go to the main road at the bottom, turn right, Narborough Road, so very close to us, is the most diverse street in the whole UK. If you look at that little map there, actually I've got the sun in my eyes here, which is nice, you will see that there are about 22 different types of shop in that one street alone. So sometimes some streets can have 2, 3, 4, or 5, 22 at the last count. So whether it's Romanian, African, Cypriot, Turkish, there's 22, the most diverse streets. So that's the background that we have. If we think of the city of Leicester, there's a map there. And that's from the last census, so 2021. And that says, okay, here in Leicester, 59% of people were, again, we use technical phrases, we have to be very careful words we use, but called Baini, which is black, African, minority ethnic. So, yeah, the white British are 41%, and 59% are from other countries and races and cultures. Even if you look at the fancy little graph at the top right, just here the top right, that's kind of the more the white British, and these are the other races. This is by age, so you can see we have a lot of young people, a lot of students. So when you see the spike, that's because there's lots of students and lots of other people come to Leicester. We have a lot of students in this congregation, so you may be in this little cohort just here. You can see how integrated we are in Leicester. And again, the diversity is actually, so even that's just black and white, we have a very large Indian population in this city as well. A lot of people from India, Pakistan, Uganda, so it's literally the most diverse city that we have. You find that you walk down to the city centre. I live in the city centre. And you just walk around. And you see many different faces of different cultures and different backgrounds. There's a typical photo. Except what I find interesting about this debate with many people is that even though we are the most diverse city, statistically, even the way we act as a city, in a good way, that if people come trying to cause racial aggravation or National Front or other similar groups, normally they get kicked out of town. There's protests, they never last long in our city centre. They could go to other places, but they last about 5 minutes, and then gathers around and says, no, we are a very multicultural, multi-ethnic city. Except if you think about this photo carefully, if you walk around the city centre, are we fully integrated? Because the truth is, often we stick to our own races, our own people, the people of our culture. How many mixed groups do you see in the city centre? I think about this carefully when you walk down. How many mixed groups of people do you see? You see the Muslims in one section, one little group go down, you see maybe the black people, the white people, the Indian, all together, and most of their friends, their family, and they pass like ships in the night. I always say it's like we pass each other. I want to say how wonderfully multiracial and integrated we are, but we pass each other like ships in the night. And if you're in a mixed group, and I've been in many mixed groups, as a Christian, I've been in many mixed groups. I delight that, because that's how we should be as Christians. I'm in many mixed groups. But you can be aware that that's a very unusual thing. Because if you see a mixed group, you go, and it kind of catches your eye. If you see a mixed group sitting in a cafe in a restaurant or McDonald's, wherever you go to, you go, well, that's very unusual. That group is very multiracial, very, you know, mixed. Because the truth is, we don't. We all kind of sit nest in our different areas. You can even say where people live and name different areas, you know, Spinney Hill, Starfield, Belgrave. City centre where I live is actually probably the most fixed area because we're just all kind of banged in the middle. I live in an apartment with 96 different flats and we are very, very mixed in our apartment block, extremely mixed. But I know if I cross over the road and go to Spinney Hills, I will be the only white person there. It's a very Muslim area. I used to leave my car there, so I used to have two cars. It was very safe area to leave my car. I thought, okay, if somebody steals my car, they'll probably chop your hand off or something. I mean, the Muslim culture, the best place. But if I walked to Cleckley, I was kind of aware at night walking up there. Okay, actually, I'm of a different colour to the people in this area. I mean, a lot of us actually, even in our background, in our ancestry, in our heritage, we also have people of different colour and races. And I mentioned this one because this is a picture of my wife's great-great-grandfather on the left, John Congo. And the name, you could probably guess, maybe possibly where he came from originally, except 10 to 15 years ago, we didn't know. We had a story in our family that, you know, was he black or not? We had this very old photo, you can see, it's a very old black and white photo. And we, Anne's grandmother, would say, yeah, I remember sitting on his knee as a three-year-old, and he was black, I remember sitting on his knee. And we had other family members saying, no, he was white. So we never quite knew. And I'm very much into family history and research and ancestry. And I was kind of trying to research the story. My father-in-law tried, he was going down to London,
and the records office.
Couldn't find any kind of records, because obviously Congo is a very unusual surname in this country. The Congo name came all the way down to my grandmother's maiden name. And also with the increase of digitization, ancestry.com, it's very easy to go to digital records now. And about 10 years ago, I traced it down to original John Congo, who arrived in St. Neots in Cambridgeshire in 1814. So he was black. There's a local historian. There are many different stories of what happened in St. Neots at the time. It was a well-known, I've got the book at home. And many times the Congo family creeped into this book. But he was definitely black. He was baptised. Again, I've got a picture of my son here outside of the church of St. Neots, St. Mary's Church. He was baptised in 1814. And I've seen the baptism register, because again, they said, well, because we couldn't say his name, we baptised in John Congo. And for a long time, actually, people thought maybe it was the surname that had been changed. But actually, he was from St. Lucia, because again, it says, the vicar's ring, because he's from St. Lucia, we called him John Congo. But there's lots of Congos in St. Lucia. Lots of them. So actually, fact, it was his first name. We don't know what his first name was. The first name, whatever it was obviously very difficult to say. So he just said, I baptised you John, I call you John, John Congo. The same from his history, we know even St. Lucia, or the history there, he came from slavery. He was a freed slave. We don't quite know. He probably came over the British Army. He was making shoes. He made shoes for the officers. He was quite educated. He could play the violin, could write. I've seen his signature and wedding certificates. I was there at the wedding, and lots of people did X's in 1814. Lots of people couldn't write, but he could. John Congo. But the point was, he was black. And in that sense, actually, we were proud of the story, or I found the story fascinating and interesting. I all came down to even to the modern generations. Even if you look at Anne's great-great-grandfather, you can kind of see in his big hands here and other things. So I think one was a goalkeeper for St. Neots FC, because he obviously had big hands as well. So we see this kind of features coming down. Again, I mention this because really, I told this story a few years ago. And people said, you can't show a photo of him as black, you should show him as white. He was white. If you say he was a slave, you should show him as white. Why is that? Because he was definitely black. His sons in the history books have said he was nicknamed Old Mahogany because he was as black as mahogany. How can I show him as white? Less whitewashing the truth, literally, make him white. And why? Because I was white. If I was African, there's honour, leave him that way. But because I was white, now you should show him as white. And these things are difficult, by the way. These are very difficult, complex topics about how we view race and diversity, or we might call implicit race bias, because we all have different ways we view different peoples or different nationalities, whether it's by particularly by skin colour, but also by culture. And again, if you think back only 5 years ago, and it kind of seems forgotten now, you know, the times of COVID and just after we had George Floyd and Black Lives Matter movements were very prominent, and all sorts of marches and demonstrations, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people go out marching. And there was a lot of talk. I mean, I attended some of these seminars myself, a lot of talk about how we have implicit race bias. But they said, well, okay, there's a society here in the UK, but we're not racist. Except, you know, maybe we are. But certainly we all have things that we view people in certain ways. We can't help that, because of the stories we've been told, the way we've been brought up, the things we see in the newspaper, the media, and we all have different ways we view each other. But again, I remember my building, for example. At that time, there was some, people doing drugs in our building, and all the residents were complaining, you know, the drugs going up. And so we complained to council, and people are actually doing that. And again, there's been many people are doing drugs, by the way. But then there were kind of a young black people in the bottom flat in the corner of the building. And we were saying, well, you can't say that, because that's implicit race bias. You know, you can't describe them that way. It's like, well, but that's the way they were. They were young men that we see by the window doing, or whatever. But again, it's a sensitivity, because we do view things in different ways. We have a bias towards all that. But again, I know six months later, there was a white guy in our building who was doing drugs. I remember seeing him dealing. I was following him around to a building elsewhere, following around the town to see where it goes. So I thought, well, it's definitely not about racism or the way you view things, because it doesn't matter what colour, you know, we just don't like drugs in our building because of the smell of the people it brings, or we have a lot of thefts in our building as well. So a lot of things were happening that way. But the point is, because we do have ways we view people. We do have ways. This is a friend of mine, Aziz Abdusara. And I mention him because he's Palestinian. And actually these days he's fairly famous. He lives in America now. He does a lot of talks, he does interviews in the news, he does a lot of peace things, so he often goes to this Jewish guy here to do these interviews about how we can have peace in Israel. And peace is a difficult thing, as we know, whether it's Ukraine or Israel, or also even this weekend we've seen the war, or I can't say it's a war, we've seen Venezuela being attacked, and these topics are complex. But the thing is, Aziz, he said, well, the answer is to know the other people, to know the other side. He was Palestinian, he lived in the West Bank. His brother died in an Israeli prison. And so initially he grew up with a lot of hatred.
our brother, he was just throwing stones. He threw stones at an Israeli vehicle. And he got beaten to death. And you can imagine the hatred you'd have from that. That's your own brother. And yet from that, then he learned, he went to a college in Jerusalem. He met some Jews there. He met some Christians. So I knew the church there. We had a church in Jerusalem at the time. And he went to the church. And then he realized, well, actually, all these people are people like me. So whether they're Jewish or Christian or Palestinian, we're all the same. We're all humans. We're all people in the same way. We have the same hopes, the same aspirations, the same fears. They're just people like me. And then he started to educate people. So actually, if you know the other side, and now he's quite famous in America, but we went in 2005, and he was an organization, or that time they called Menchidi Tours, just here at the bottom left. This is from his Wikipedia page, by the way. We were the first visit. We were his test group in 2005. We went for a month, and we went to see, we went to the West Bank. Actually, to be honest, we met some Hamas leaders. We didn't know at the time, but the Hamas leaders, they presented their case. We met Jewish leaders. They presented various things, and we met all sorts of people. From that we learned all people are the same. All people. It doesn't matter what race or background.
If you knew what the other people were like, and knew them,
and how they lived, and went into their homes, which is what you're supposed to do, and you ate with them, and learned their stories, we were all people. We were all together. So I mean, this is
the background, even from my own background.
Again, I've been in churches in the past where, even in the last church I was in, my wife and I, we were the last white couple in that church. And that's quite a challenge in many ways because, again, you kind of then begin to feel a little bit outside, a little bit, okay, certain groups of people mix. I remember there was a wedding. My wife in particular was upset that she wasn't invited. She said, well, everybody else was invited. And I know the particular lady very well. We've had to my house many times, and my good friend who was so thought she moved to London and she was getting married. How come I didn't get an invitation? Was everybody else in that church did? And I never got the full reasons. I knew the minister down there very well, so I was trying to have a street word. Because again, it kind of felt like, is that because we are white? Is it because we are white? Because that's how kind of indirectly feel. But yeah, can we just check and no rush, we're going to find out from you, no rush. And he came back to me 2 or 3 months later, I met him again, said, oh, did you find out the reasons? That's because you're self-entitled. Or your wife is self-entitled, I think. And that kind of hurt, that kind of stung a bit, to be honest. It's like, well, again, that was the fact. Is it because we were white? I don't know to this day, but that's the things that happen if things aren't talked about or addressed or brought into these things. So really, that's a bit of background. Let's get into a bit of Bible, but how the Bible views these things. So I think in many ways we know where we should be, but also I think at times we need reminding or to really understand that these things can be complex, but we don't realise we have to look inside our heart. We go, okay, no, that's not me. We're all the same. I know. This is a wonderful lesson, a multi-diverse, wonderful city. But in our hearts, we can often have some bias, ways we treat each other. Hence the title, being one, that we should be as one. Even if you think of the opening scripture, Brother Pat read it for us. And again, actually, I'm pleased this church, we are multiracial and multicultural. That on this day, we've got an Indian brother reading the verses. Okay, today I'm preaching our white. We have a Brother Luke, African, in the communion. We are integrated, or we are multiracial in this church. But let's read Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. created them. So the point is, he created man to be diverse. Like diversity, you know, it's not a human invention or a social trend. It is a divine masterpiece. God didn't create a monochrome world. Again, think about mosaics. Mosaics are multicolored. The beautiful things. My wife and I, 20 years ago, we did a mosaic course when we did a scientist, perhaps, who had a great mosaics. We live in a colorful, beautiful world. In the beginning, God created or fashioned humanity in his image. The Latin phrase is imago Dei, which basically means, okay, in the image, but in the image of morality, of righteousness of our innermost being. We are in God's image inside. On the outside, we are diverse, we are different, but we all reflect God, regardless of our skin colour or our heritage. We all carry inherent worth and dignity. And the key truth is, God made from one man every nation of mankind. And that's the way God created it. Our differences in ethnicity and culture are not a result of the fall. It's not because, oh, well, we fell, that's how it all happened, the fall of Adam, but a reflection of the creative variety of our triune God. That God himself has, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God created us in beautiful variety. Again, just think of that image there. In the beginning, God created us all to be beautifully various. But then, what is the problem? What's the problem? The wall of hostility. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's pick up on verse 14. And this is talking about Jews and Gentiles. So the point is, in the early church, again, there were two majorly different groups in the church. There was the Jews and the Gentiles. And they had very different views, maybe how Christianity should be. Should we be circumcised or not circumcised? Should we follow dietary rules or not dietary rules? There were many, many differences on the outside. Which can be a bit like Leicester today. Yeah. But actually, let me think of the
verse 11. Therefore, remember
that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised
by those who call themselves circumcision, whenever that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. I mean, really, we're all foreigners in one way or another. Even my family, there's different ethnicities. I'm from Liverpool, which you might say, you might think that's a different foreign language if you hear the Scouse accents.
Many of us in this room have come from different countries, let's be honest.
Many of us are foreigners. We're all foreigners, actually. I would say, we are all foreign. We are all foreign. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one,
and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
So there's kind of a wall can be created by mankind. We are the problem, not God. God created us to be wonderfully diverse. But often, mankind has created walls. Whether it's between Jewish or Gentile or the world today, we, through our sin, through our failings, through our biases, through our fears and insecurities, we create a wall. But Ephesians says, no, we are all one. We are all followers. We are united in one blood, in Christ, and we are meant to be together. If we are Church of Christ, which it says on the notice outside, we are Church of Christ, we are one. We are a church of white or black or African or white.
British or Indian. We're not pink or blue or rainbow. We are a church, one church of Christ. So sin, that's twisted diversity. We built the dividing walls of hostility based on race, status, and pride. Again, a key truth. Racism is a sin because it devalues what God has called very good.
In our brokenness, we often view difference as a threat rather than a gift. We must acknowledge that no race or ethnicity is more sacred or more sinful than another. We are all equally in need of a saviour. We are all equally sinners. The solution: one new humanity in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there
male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's the title. You're all one. You're all one in Christ. On the cross, Jesus, he didn't say that, didn't die just to save individuals. He destroyed the walls between us all. He took the two, Jew and Gentile, and made them one new man, reconciling all groups to God in one body. And Christ, our primary identity, is no longer defined by our earthly labels. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one. We've got a coat of many colours, if you like. But it means that cultural background can grant or deny access to this grace. Again, just think of that picture. There's Jesus destroying the wall. And so we're called to that wall. Must be destroyed. So the practice, live in the oneness today. John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent him. So this is a famous prayer near the end of the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, I pray that they all be one.
Because division may come in the future. He knew it. We read the letters in the New Testament. There were many divisions and many problems in the early churches. He said, I pray that they may be one. We are meant to be one. And I know we've said it from here before, but unity is not uniformity, by the way. It doesn't mean we're all exactly the same. A body has many different parts and many different functions. We don't have time to read it now, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body has many parts. So So whether it's hand, foot, tongue, chest, leg, the body has many different parts. We're all meant to be together as one. Just think of that picture for a moment, as Jesus is saying, let's all pray in a circle. We are all maybe one.
So coming to the final point, the vision, the great multitude. Revelations chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. So if we're meant to be one 2,000 years ago when Jesus prayed, I think we're meant to be one today. I think we're meant to be one in the future. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So the point, the end of the story is not a blending of all people into one sameness. John saw a great multitude of every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne. What does this mean? For future resurrection and judgment, we will all be recognizable in our diversity, for we'll be totally united in our worship. We're called to bring a foretaste of heaven to earth by living as the reconciled family of God right now. Again, if we were thinking of actionable steps, the first might be listening to understand. Practice active listening to those with different life experiences and ethnicities. So a bit like my friend Aziz, in terms Palestinians and Jewish people to understand each other and therefore become hopefully one day one in Israel, but there's a solution. We have to understand how people think and feel. And that works in all directions. I literally don't care whether you're black, white, any other colour, anything in between. We all have different experiences. Like working, we can have assumptions. We all can have assumptions. Let's listen to each other. Reject partiality. So let's make sure we have no bias. No favourites in what we do. In this church, well, now I do the rota, we have wonderful diversity in our congregation, and that's the way it should be.
And again, this is what comes to my mind, is think about, well, if Leicester is the most diverse city in the UK, then ours should be the most diverse church in the UK. We should be the one in the way, leading the way to say we are the most diverse. A part of this problem is, okay, there could be churches out there in other cities, other places, that are of one ethnicity,
monochrome. To me, that's not right. There's no such thing as a white British church, or
British church, or an Irish church, English church, Welsh church, African church. There's no such thing as Nigerian church, Canadian church, Caribbean church, all sorts of different nations here. No, no, we're all one church of Christ, and in this city, Church of Christ, the Leicester Church of Christ, we should be the example, leading the way to say we glory in our diversity, in our integration. Diversity, yeah, we might be a diverse city, but I don't think the city is integrated. But in Christ, we should be integrated with each other. Now, we know each other. We eat with each other. We know each other's lives. We show no bias, no favourites. We are the leading example. And the point today, the final practicality, model of the future. If this is the case, our unity is our apologetic. If other people are coming to our church, visitors, people in the...
Whether it's this area, from the city of Leicester,
any area coming, people come from other towns and villages, even into Leicester. One example that would be to say, well, actually, this church is different because it is integrated, because there are many different peoples all together. That's what I stand on. I know in this church, I know it, we stand on the same principles. Let's just make sure that we do.
One. That's just the final conclusion, the final word.
One.
Before we have our
invitation song, which will be a common now, a lot of us know that song actually. We frequently sing it on a Wednesday, common love. Common love for each other. Think about the words. And so I'm just going to play the song for 1 minute, and then Brother Francis will come up and lead us in that song.